Hi everyone, welcome to this special bonus episode of the Logical Bible Study Gospel Exegesis podcast. In this episode, I want to talk a bit about the Gospel of Mark in general. So this will serve as a bit of an introduction to the Gospel of Mark, because we're about to enter a time in the church's liturgical calendar where we're going to hear a lot from the Gospel of Mark, particularly on weekdays. And this podcast will cover the Gospel of Mark a lot as well. So it's always good when you're about to do a big chunk of a certain book of the Bible to have a look at the background of the book, so we know who the author is, what they're trying to do, and all those kinds of things. So this is a bit of a special bonus episode, and hopefully it helps you learn a bit about Mark, who he was, and what he's up to in his gospel. So firstly, let's talk a bit about when you're going to hear from the Gospel of Mark in the church's liturgical year. So on weekdays, it's read semi-continuously. So firstly, what's the term semi-continuously mean? It means it basically goes chronologically, but it occasionally leaves some bits out. So for example, you might hear from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 10 on one day. The next day, you might hear from verses 11 to 20. And then the church might deliberately leave out a few verses. So the next day, you'll start at verse 24. And skips verses 21 to 23. So that's what's meant by semi-continuously. It goes through chronologically from start to finish, though it occasionally leaves bits out, and that's because the church doesn't have time to do literally every word of every gospel throughout the year, so it has to make some choices about parts that it's going to leave out. Usually the church leaves out parts that aren't particularly, or you can't really make a sermon from them. There's not a whole lot of teaching in a certain passage, perhaps. So on weekdays, it's read semi-continuously from January. So the first part of the year, as soon as ordinary time starts, so usually mid-January, through to June. So the entire first half of the year on weekdays, you'll hear from the Gospel of Mark if you go to Mass. So it starts with chapter 1. On ordinary time, week 1, Monday, each year. So ordinary time, week 1, that's usually around January 12th, something like that. You'll hear from Mark chapter 1, and then it goes from there. Now, there's a break. Whenever Lent and Easter is in that year, there's a break where you'll stop hearing from Mark continuously for a while. Once the Easter season is over, it resumes with ordinary time again, and you'll pick up where you left off with the Gospel of Mark. Finishes with chapter 12 of the Gospel of Mark at the end of week 9 of ordinary time. So it's 9 full weeks of ordinary time. The first 9 weeks, you'll hear from the Gospel of Mark. So around January 12th to about June 9th is when you'll hear on weekdays and Saturdays the Gospel of Mark. On Sundays, you'll usually only hear Mark in year B of the cycle. So the lectionary goes in a 3-year cycle, year A, year B, year C. You'll hear a lot of Mark during year B. In that year, year B, by the end of that year, 61% of the Gospel of Mark will have been covered in year B. So it's not a whole lot, but it's more than half. But if you add up together the weekday readings of the Gospel of Mark, which is in the first half of every year, and then the Sunday readings in year B, if you listen to all of those, you will have heard 96.3% of the Gospel of Mark. So that's most of the Gospel of Mark if you add it all together. And we're about to enter ordinary time week 1. So you're about to start hearing a lot of Mark during the weekday readings and the recordings of this podcast. So who is the author of Gospel of Mark? Tradition is unanimous that it's a guy called Mark. Mark was not one of the apostles, so Mark never met Jesus, but he was a disciple of Simon Peter later on, and Peter calls him Mark, my son, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. So Peter has an affectionate relationship with this guy, Mark. So Mark was a Jewish Christian. He was a Jew, and then he converted to becoming a Christian, possibly through listening to the preaching of Peter. So Mark is not mentioned by name in the Gospels because he's not around in the time of Jesus, as far as we know. But he is mentioned in the book of Acts. He has another name as well. His Jewish name, so probably his birth name, was John. And we learn that from Acts chapter 12. But it's much more convenient to refer to him as Mark because we don't want to get him confused with all the other Johns. So Mark's mother, whose name is Mary, we're pretty sure when we look at the book of Acts that she owned a house in Jerusalem with a large upper room. So Mark might have come from a wealthy family because his mother had a house with a large upper room. And this is the room that disciples are in after the ascension. So in Acts chapter 1, the disciples are hanging out in Mark's mother's house. And it's possibly also the same place where they had the Last Supper, although that's not as certain. You can go to Jerusalem today and they think they've probably found the upper room that's often talked about. And this could be Mark's house that you can go to today. Mark was a cousin of Barnabas, that's mentioned in Colossians 4, verse 10. And also, he also knew Paul. He went on a couple of Paul's missionary trips. So in Acts 13, verse 5, it says that Paul brought Mark along on Paul's first journey. But something happened there. So Mark left that journey. We're not sure why, but it ended up resulting in a bit of an awkward tension there between Paul and Barnabas, because Barnabas was a fan of Mark, but it appears that Mark deserted Paul. So Paul and Barnabas end up arguing about Mark. We know that later on, he was reconciled with Paul. So we know that from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. So you'll see all these references to Mark showing up later in the New Testament. So he was very close to Peter. He was a cousin of Barnabas. And he spent some time with Paul as well. So he was clearly a very useful missionary in the early church. It appears that Mark wrote his gospel based on information he got from Peter. So after Jesus died and resurrected and then went back to heaven, Peter preached a lot. Peter went around preaching. And it appears that Mark at some point heard Peter preaching and then became a follower of Peter. So he followed Peter around and he wrote down the things that Peter said. So during Peter's sermons, he would talk about the things Jesus did. And Mark wrote those down. So it is Mark's gospel is, in a sense, Peter's gospel. It's based on Peter's recollections. According to the early church, Peter didn't command Mark to write the gospel. It was just that Mark started writing and Peter kind of let him write down his recollections. We do see some sort of Peter vibes come through in the gospel sometimes. So every now and then there'll be a few scenes where we see Jesus' day-to-day life almost through Peter's eyes, like in chapter 1. There's a very Peter flavor to it. There's also some evidence of eyewitness facts here in the gospel. For example, in chapter 4, verse 38, we learn that there was a cushion in the boat that Jesus was on, and only an eyewitness would know that. So there is strong evidence here that Peter did give Mark a lot of his information. That also explains why Mark doesn't include a lot of information about Jesus' childhood, because Peter didn't know a lot about Jesus' childhood, as far as we know. So Mark doesn't include anything about Bethlehem in there, or not a lot about Bethlehem. Whereas Luke includes a lot about Mary and Bethlehem, because Luke interviewed Mary, whereas as far as we know, Mark may have never met Jesus' mother. After serving Peter in Rome, so after Peter dies, Mark leaves Rome and he goes on to Egypt and he establishes the church in Alexandria. And according to tradition, Mark was the first bishop of Alexandria. So he did a lot during his life. His encounter with Peter and with Jesus changed Mark's life and he committed his life to the service of the gospel. So that's a bit about the guy Mark. What about the date? Well, there's, as with all the Gospels, there's some dispute about when exactly they were written. Most conservative scholars and traditionally people have said that Mark wrote quite early. The consensus today, although it's not agreed by everyone, but the majority consensus is that Mark's Gospel is most likely the first one to be written, which makes sense because if what we have from tradition is right, Mark didn't copy from anyone. Mark literally wrote down what he heard Peter saying. So that's how Mark wrote his gospel. He just listened to Peter and wrote it down. And it would appear that later on, the other gospel authors, particularly Matthew and Luke, got copies of the Gospel of Mark, and then they used Mark as a source for their own gospels. So Mark's probably the earliest gospel to be written. When exactly was it written? The best estimate we have, it was written sometime around the year AD 54 or 55. So how do we get that? Well, it's kind of an argument by working backwards. So if we say that Mark was written before Luke, we can then ask ourselves, when was the latest that Luke was written? It appears that Luke's gospel had to be written before AD 60, because Luke wrote his gospel before Acts. And if you look at the book of Acts kind of gets cut off short, as though Luke has written everything that's happened up till that point in the book of Acts. And he doesn't record any events in the book of Acts that occur after AD 60. And if the Gospel of Luke was written before the Gospel of Acts, that means that Luke was written before AD 60. That means that Mark, because Luke relied on Mark, Mark had to be written before AD 59 or AD 60. So if we say it took a few years for Mark's Gospel to get in circulation and for Luke to get his hands on Mark's Gospel, that brings us to around the middle of that decade. So sometime around the year AD 55 is when we think Mark wrote, which is very, very early for a biography. What about Mark's audience? So it appears that, it doesn't tell us, but it looks like Mark's first readers were Christians in Rome, in the city of Rome. We know that because in his gospel he uses a lot of Latin loan words, such as the word legion and the word praetorium. He would only use those words if he knew that his audience would understand them, which indicates that his audience knew a lot about Roman customs. So that's some evidence that his audience is living in Rome. And it also appears that his audience was Gentile, not primarily Jewish. So a lot of converts from non-Jewish parts of the world that have become Christians. Because Mark goes out of his way in his gospel to explain Jewish customs, such as ritual washings, which Gentiles would not have been familiar with. In his gospel, whenever he mentions things like ritual washings, he explains to his readers what the point of the ritual washing is. And he also translates any Aramaic words that he inserts in his gospel. So that indicates his audience probably doesn't know Aramaic. If we put all that together, it looks like it's Gentile Christians in Rome that he's writing for. He's also writing for Christians in crisis, because there's a bit of an emphasis on persecution in his gospel, which would make sense because we know that the Christians in Rome were persecuted by various emperors. And Mark is writing in a way that's inviting his readers to immerse himself in the life of Jesus in the same way that Mark and Peter themselves were immersed in the life of Jesus. So it's an invitation for people to become immersed in the life of Jesus. He writes in a very invitational way. What's the purpose of his gospel? Well, we know that Mark is not writing the life of Jesus in chronological order, but he is writing for a purpose, and that purpose appears to be to encourage those Christians in Rome to persist even through persecutions. There's a strong emphasis on joy. So he's telling his readers that despite the persecutions and the difficulties of being a Christian, there is reason for joy. He wants to encourage his readers to show that God's purposes are not foiled by human failure or opposition. And also he has another purpose here, which is to answer the question, who then is this? Who is this guy Jesus? He wants to answer that question. And Mark gives us an answer to that question. So several times in his gospel, people ask the question, who is this guy? And Mark gives his readers an answer. He says that Jesus is the Messiah. And on top of that, he invites his readers to have a personal encounter with Jesus as the Messiah. So what kind of emphasis and themes will you hear in Mark over the next few weeks? Mark's key theme, according to a lot of scholars, is the Paschal Mystery. He's constantly referring to this idea of the Messiah beginning his glorious reign on earth, but only through dying on the cross. So a lot has been written about Mark's theology of kingship through crucifixion, and that casts a shadow throughout the entire gospel. So a lot during his gospel Mark records Jesus predicting his own death and discussing the meaning of his death in terms of being a king. A second theme would be the identity of Jesus. So who is Jesus? He's the Messiah, but it's also in a kind of hidden and secret way. So Jesus is the Son of God, but in a kind of hidden way in the Gospel of Mark. It's bursting with the good news of Christ. He wants people to know that this is good news, that Jesus as the Messiah has come and it's going to change the world, and it has already changed, or it's beginning to change Israel. He has a very vivid narrative style, so it's almost like a movie script. He moves from one action-packed event to the next. He uses the word immediately over 40 times in his gospel, which is pretty phenomenal because he has the shortest gospel. He only has 16 chapters. So his gospel has this sense of urgency and fast-paced action. That means he doesn't include a lot of the longer teachings of Jesus that Matthew does, so he doesn't have a lot of long sermons in there. The focus is on Jesus' works. So the focus is on who Jesus is and what he does, rather than on what he says. But he does include the emotional reactions of Jesus' audience. So Mark includes a lot of comments about how the audience reacted to Jesus. He wants his readers to see themselves reflected in the disciples, or the crowds, or the other characters. So he wants people to be able to almost place themselves in the story and to see themselves in the disciples or in the crowds. And that's why Mark is often used a lot for Lectio Divina and other spiritual practices where you really immerse yourself in the gospel as one of the characters. Mark's gospel lends itself well to that kind of thing. And he also portrays the failures of the first disciples with relentless honesty. He doesn't sugarcoat the disciples' reactions. The disciples get it wrong a lot, and Mark is very honest about that, which makes sense if he's getting his information from Peter. Peter's being very honest about his own failures and the failures of the other gospels. So really what we're hearing here in Mark's gospels is Peter's preaching. A lot of what we hear here would have been similar to what people listening to Peter preaching would have heard. So that's the Gospel of Mark in a nutshell. Further resources, if you want to do a proper verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of Mark, which I really do recommend, the best source in my view, and this is the one that I use a lot for my podcast, would be the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, the Gospel of Mark. So there's a series called the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, and Mary Healy wrote the Gospel of Mark. And she's done an excellent job going through verse by verse, showing links to the Old Testament and what it means on the literal sense, which is what we want in this podcast. What was the author Mark trying to convey to his audience in the literal sense? There's also, if you have the Bible software Verbum or Logos Bible software, then there's a commentary on Mark by Jimmy Akin, who's a really good biblical Catholic author. So those are two good resources to get you started on the gospel. So over the next few weeks, you're going to hear from Mark, and we're going to be starting with chapter 1, Ordinary Time, week 1, Monday. So hopefully you enjoyed this bonus episode and you feel a little bit more prepared to hear from Mark over the next few weeks. Thanks for listening.